Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Jordan Nobbs, and you're listening to the Arsenal Women Arscast. Wait, I do that again. Sorry. Yeah. Hi, I'm Jordan Nobbs, and you're listening to the Arsenal Women Arscast on arsblog.com.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Women Arscast on arsblog.com, the best podcast dedicated to the Arsenal women's team, because it's the only podcast dedicated to the Arsenal women's team. You're joined by your two hosts, as usual, myself, Tim Stillman, and as ever, joined by Pippa Monique. Pippa, how are you doing?
Hello. Good, good, good. I'm good, thanks.
Looking forward to Sunday, North London derby at the new Spurs Stadium.
You can't even imagine how excited I am for this.
Have you been there yet before? I know you did some filming outside the stadium this weekend, but have you been inside yet?
I haven't been inside, and I know it's going to be crazy for you to say this as an Arsenal fan, but it actually looks like a really nice stadium. And I'm actually excited to see what it looks like inside, and excited to take all 3 points as well.
Yeah, exactly. I've not been there since it's been rebuilt either, and looking forward to covering that for the site as usual, and looking forward to a resounding win. But that's not what we're going to talk about this month on the podcast. Eagle-eyed listeners will have noticed that Arsenal have had, for quite a few years, some quite high-profile Dutch players. And so Pippa and I figured, why don't we do an episode on these high-profile Dutch players? And who better to do the episode with than Dutch women's football journalist Anne-Marie Postner? Anne-Marie, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And Anne-Marie, first of all, just to kind of introduce yourself to the listeners, can you talk a little bit about what you do around the Dutch women's national team? And I believe you wrote a book about them as well.
Yeah, I published two books. And one, the first one was in 2017, right before the Euros in the Netherlands. And I kind of portrayed all the players, because nobody knew who they were, so we made a book with 11 portraits and then stories in between about how they financed their living, right? Because it was kind of hard back then. And we're only talking about 2 years ago, so that's crazy. And then before the World Cup, when they qualified for the second time, we decided to come up with another book, which kind of describes what happened after winning the Euros and then the 2 years following, how the world had changed for them. So, yeah.
And you cover pretty much every game. We're recording this during the international break. You were in Turkey, right, when they won 8-0 the other night?
Yes, I was there. I write as a freelancer, so I have different newspapers and magazines that I write for. And then when the national team plays, there's a bit of work for TV I'm doing behind the scenes, which I like as well. Just kind of, they're using my expertise, my privilege. So I was in Turkey, and they had a massive win, which was nice, it's good. And then tomorrow, Tuesday, they will play against Slovenia at home.
Excellent. So why don't we get into a bit of a discussion then about some of Arsenal's Dutch players. Pippa?
Should we start with Daniel van der Donk?
Why not? Yeah? All good things start with DVD, yes.
Yeah, she is such a cool character, and I love speaking to her after the games, even just in general, and especially interviewing her. But I would love to know, Anne-Marie, like, what was it like? How is she perceived in the Netherlands, first of all?
Oh, really well. The thing was, I think she was underestimated for a really long time. And we spoke about that, me and her, for a couple of times. And where she actually, yeah, she said the same thing. She felt that. She felt that people didn't see what she was capable of. Mm-hmm. And that the attention was going to other players. And I think last year already a bit, and especially this year, she is shining, you know. She and, yeah, and people finally acknowledge what she's capable of, and that does her really well. Like, you can see her brighten up.
Yeah,
I'm talking about her performance in the national team, because at Arsenal people already know that, but she's had some difficulties that people back home didn't see that, and she didn't get enough credits for it, she thought. And now it's coming. And I think every journalist, the first time they talk to Danielle van der Donk, they are all blown away.
I was just about to ask you, what was
all
your
of
first,
them.
Like, your first impression of her when you interviewed her for the first time?
Oh, well, yeah, she is, oh my God, she's everywhere. She's all over the place. But she is very friendly, very nice, and she hasn't changed a bit.
When you say everywhere and all over the place, you mean like she's like a big ball of energy, right?
Yeah, big ball of energy. And she's always willing to talk to you. So she's, even if she's not in a really good mood, which rarely ever happens, she will always talk to you. And she looks you in the eye. She knows who you are. She's looking away. She doesn't ignore people. She's always asking how you are, which is kind of funny. Yeah, so I like her. You have to be careful, of course, because I mean, I'm a journalist, so I shouldn't, you know, I should always ask the right questions instead of liking people.
but it's so hard not to like her.
I know, because every time I'm in London, she's like, did you get here by train again? Shall I give you a ride to the station? So she drives to the station, and then she offers things like that. So that's really, really cool. And yeah, so that's her personality, and everyone can tell that, and that's really good. And I think she has that same influence on the Dutch team with her personality, you know, always happy, But I mean, on the pitch, she's a different person, kind of a bit.
A bit more aggressive.
Yes, and we called her the penalty queen, like the Schwalbe queen. Laying down in the box quite often, and she's more aggressive, and but she's really, really cool. I like her.
What's her interviews like in her native tongue? Because when we speak to her, obviously, over here in English, it's always quite funny speaking to her, because obviously at first she wasn't comfortable, but now she's got the knack of it. But I want to know if she has that same like characteristics come through when she speaks in her native tongue, or is she more serious?
Oh, no. I don't even think she's aware of the cameras or notebooks or whatever. She just blurs everything out. And that's still great about women's football. And like I said, she hasn't changed much. I think she's more choosing her words, but that's every player is doing that since they won the Euros. So, she stumbles in the mix zone and she starts babbling to everyone, and then and she's funny. She always gets
super funny.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, I don't feel like she chooses her words when I interview her. She's always like, I remember interviewing her after Arsenal played Birmingham last season, and Arsenal went 1-0 up and Birmingham equalised straight away, and I asked her about it, and she just said, yeah, that was really shit. she's quite good value in that respect. Did you guys see the post on Twitter from a Polish supporter who went to Boreham Wood a couple of weeks ago? And
no, what was it?
So this Polish fan had gone, and she's not even an Arsenal fan, just a huge DVD fan, and she went and spoke to her after the game, and she gave her some Polish sweets, and a DVD kind of said, oh, have you come here from Poland? And she said, yes, I just came to see you. And so Dan went to her car and got some boots out and said, these are the boots I wore at the World Cup, I want you to have them.
So this
young woman who'd just come from Poland just to see Danielle van der Donk ended up going home with a pair of her boots that she'd worn in the World Cup final. So I think that, like,
that is so amazing.
Really gets across like the type of person she is, you know.
I know, because I'm sure that fan would have been pretty much happy just meeting DVD, but then getting the boots as well just made the trip even more worth it.
Exactly. And she's a lovely kind of bubbly personality, someone I've got a lot of time for. Someone else I've got a lot of time for who probably hasn't got a bubbly personality is Vivian Miedema, who is, I think, a very likeable character in a very different way. But before we talk about Viv amongst ourselves, I had the opportunity to talk to Leah Williamson about Viv a couple of weeks ago at London Colney, and it's a really interesting insight into what Viv's like as a teammate. So we're just going to run that now. So Leah, I want to talk to you a little bit about Vivian Miedema. Last season, I mean, I was at almost every game last season. I only spoke to Viv, I think, once or twice, because from a content point of view, this sounds like a weird thing to say, Viv wasn't interesting, because it's really difficult to make continued excellence interesting. It's like Arsenal won 4-0 and Viv scored a hat-trick again. Great. Like, if I wrote an article tomorrow about Lionel Messi being brilliant, no one would read it, because everyone knows. And so in many ways, that's one of the reasons I didn't speak to her that often, but actually I've kind of revised that, because I do think she's very interesting in a few ways. One of the theories I have about Viv, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, I've got this theory that she doesn't care about scoring goals, that it's not important to her, that she just happens to be really good at it. And that's why she's so calm in front of goal. She doesn't feel any pressure or anything like that. I still think she sees herself as more of a 10 than a 9, because every time I speak to her, she wants to talk about her assists and not her goals. Do you think I'm on the right track here?
I think you're absolutely on the right track. For somebody so excellent, like you say, you know, she really is ever bothered by the individual sort of shout outs that goals bring. She is very, very good at it. So if she does consider herself as more of a 10, she shot herself right in the foot, because nobody will ever use her there again. But I think the best thing about Viv, and something that Joe's referred to quite a lot, is her ability to score goals, but also to set them up. She's integral to the way that we play. So I think for somebody so excellent, she is absolutely unfazed by the amount of goals or individual shouts of excellence that she gets from anybody else.
And I think as a personality, she's really interesting as well. And actually, the times I've spoken to her, she reminds me a bit of Kelly Smith, in that she's, I'd say she comes across to me anyway as quite introverted and quite quiet. But I somehow doubt, like, if you annoy Vivian Miedema, I get the impression that you know you've annoyed Vivian Miedema, and I think I might have annoyed her a couple of times, quite frankly. Like, she comes across to me as quite quiet, but she says what she means and she means what she says. Again, is that the Vivian Miedema you see at the training ground every day?
Yeah, I think you can have a lot of different leaders or leadership qualities that people have in them. And I think one of Kelly's was leading by example, and when she did speak, she wasn't necessarily overly talkative as a captain and as a leader, but she was, when she did say something, you listened. And Viv does have that about her. She's annoying because most of the time she's right in what she says, which can be annoying, especially when she's talking about you. But you know, it's for somebody, I get told quite a lot that I'm quite mature. Viv makes me feel 10 years old. She's knows so much about so much, and she is confident in her opinion and what she believes in. So yeah, if she thinks something, then she won't hesitate to tell you. It's a good thing to have people like that in your team, but also in women's football, you know, the way that she says what needs to be said and sort of paves the way and is willing to fight for the rights of us all. I think she is she's a well-rounded person, I think, in that sense. You know, if we're talking about Viv completely off of the pitch, I have so much respect for her, you know, despite what she does on the pitch, so much respect for her. And I could say, as somebody who's actually the same age and relatively mature herself, I like to think she makes me feel very inadequate a lot of the time.
And I asked her in the pouring rain against Brighton about not being included in the FIFA Pro World 11. Mm-hmm. And she told me, the way I phrased the question, right, was I said, I believe you when you say that you don't care about personal awards. I believe you, because every player says that, but I don't think they all really mean it. And I think that's fine, that's just human nature, but I really believe Viv doesn't care. And in many respects, that's why she doesn't get the accolades. And then she said, you know, I think it's a joke. So there's Viv being laconic again and telling you what she thinks in very few words. What was the reaction of the rest of the group, perhaps on the night of the FIFA Best Awards, when, you know, with all due respect, Marta, brilliant player, or has been a brilliant player, but injured most of the year, injured for the World Cup, hasn't done an awful lot this year, and I think it's clear that she got voted because she was more famous, perhaps, than Vivian Miedema. So how did the team, you know, I know it's probably not like your main objective for the season, but how, I guess, what was the discussion the next day when Viv wasn't in it?
Yeah, I think you look at, even if you just went off of what's on paper, she reached the World Cup final. She was top, broke records in the WSL, top goal scorer in one, I think, potentially the most competitive league in the world. And I haven't played anywhere else, so that is obviously an opinion and from what I hear, but I think it is also a joke how far down she was as well, how far away she was from it. She would be in my team if I picked, but also something was brought to my attention in that a couple of the WSL, you know, we have the opportunity to vote for that as players, and I think quite a lot of the WSL teams potentially didn't, which makes more sense. But I think overall the fact that it's evaded her and the fact that people aren't highlighting her does say a lot about Viv, and she is happy to lay low and just do her job. But yeah, I think especially for the age that she's at, I can't believe that she doesn't make more waves, and I can't believe, you know, 100% you look at Marta and the respect that she has from everybody, I think also contributes to the votes for those sorts of things. But definitely, you know, for a player that's played so many games, scored so many goals and reached the World Cup final, it's just I also think it's a bit of a joke that she's not in it. So I think as a team it's almost a good thing for us, because we're like, okay, you don't talk about her and we'll just keep her here and protect her and let her do the job for us. But obviously, yeah, it's beyond any of us that she doesn't get the recognition that she deserves.
And kind of final question on Viv, how far do you think she can go in terms of her standing at Arsenal? I've been watching Arsenal ladies / women for about 25 years, so I saw like Marianne Spacey, saw like Kelly Smith and Faye White and great players like that. And I mean, I think she could exceed even someone like Kelly Smith, you know, assuming she stays at Arsenal for long enough. But how do you see her, you know, against, I guess, like in a few years, against the likes of Megan Rapinoe and Marta and these kind of legends of the women's game?
Yeah, I think the best thing about Viv is that what she has to say is actually brilliant. Like I say, in terms of what she fights for and what she believes in, I actually think she has the capability of, you know, the impact of somebody like Megan Rapinoe, like you say, who on and off the pitch is so loud. But I just think the age that Viv's at, I just think the world is literally her oyster. And I hope she stays here for a while, and I hope that she becomes that legend that she should be here, because the amount of goals alone takes her up there. So I think, you know, you often look at other people and you think, oh, you envy them for different reasons. I envy Viv because she could literally do whatever she wants, and that's the way on the pitch, off the pitch, I think she's pretty much capable of anything. So it's just down to her, and I think that's, like I say, I think that's the best bit, because when Viv wants to do something, she does it.
Hear, hear. Okay. Leah, thank you very much for that insight.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
So there are a few things that really kind of came out of my chat with Leah that I kind of want to pick up on, and the first thing is Leah spoke about Viv's maturity, and you know she's only just turned 23 and obviously achieved so much in the game, Anne-Marie. Mm-hmm. And there's a kind of I don't think it's fair to say it's a contradiction, but in Viv the thing that I find really interesting about her personality is on one hand she's quite shy and she's certainly very reluctant about the spotlight, not in an unkind way. I think she's quite an unaffected person. But on the other hand, when you do speak to her, she really does speak her mind. Is that what's come across in your chats with Vivian Miedema?
Yes, it's like you said. I was always, in the beginning, I was always afraid of talking to her.
Yep.
I exactly remember the moment we first met. And it was in 2014, and the Netherlands had just played the final qualification game against Italy, the playoffs, and they qualified for the World Cup in Canada for the first time. And Miedema scored twice. After the game, obviously, everyone was just, you know, really happy, and we hadn't talked a bit. But then on the way back, I was the only one going back to the Netherlands from Italy via Germany because I had the cheapest ticket ever. I had to pay it myself. So I was going to Germany, and she played for Bayern Munich her first season there. Mm. So who was waiting for the same plane? It was Miedema. And I was like, oh my God. And I don't know why it made me so nervous, but she already, like, she was way younger than me, but she had such a personality and appearance. And I was like, oh God, that's her. And I was like, I want to interview her in Germany. Like, that she's going to be a big star, and I need to be the first one to speak to her in Germany. So I walked up to her, and shaking legs, I don't know, I have no idea why. And she looked at me and I was like, oh dear, she's gonna kill me. And I was actually the one turning up late because my plane had a delay during the match. So I missed her first goal. And the first thing she said to me, she's like, you were the journalist that was late yesterday night.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, gosh, I know. I had no idea what she thought of me. And then at the end, she turned to me and she's like, I'm so sorry. I'm just really tired. I want to go to bed. If you're coming to Germany, here's my number and everything will be fine. And then I just prayed that I wasn't seated next to her, of course. And we weren't. So, yeah, a month later, I think I was in Germany, and that was amazing. And since then, I think, yeah, we build up kind of a relationship, like journalist and player, where she's always really honest,
yeah.
always. And yeah. like you said, she looks you in the eye. She says what she wants to say, but not to everyone.
Yep.
If she doesn't like a journalist, you can tell. You can totally tell. Like sometimes I look on the side, and if there is like one of those gossip journalists from Gossip TV, whatever, she knows it, and she will give really short answers, and you can tell she doesn't like everyone.
Yeah, I spoke to her after Arsenal played Brighton in September with no notion that of what she was going to tell me. Well, no, I had a little notion, to be honest, because I know Viv and I know she says what she means and she means what she says. But people will remember this, like about 2 minutes before the final whistle of that Brighton game, I was like, right, I've got to speak to Viv because mm-hmm. the FIFA Pro World 11 of the Year has come out. She's not in it. And I just want to ask her about that, basically. And she'd scored a brilliant goal, as she always does. And the heavens just opened. It started pouring down with rain. And I was stood there in the mix zone at Boreham Wood, which is completely uncovered with an umbrella. And I called her over, and she, you know, she didn't want to do the interview, clearly, purely because it was raining. And I completely don't blame her because I didn't really want to do it either. But, you know, got a job to do and all of that. And I called her over and she came over, and I put the umbrella over. I said, do you want to get under the umbrella? And she said, no, I want to go inside. and straight away I was like, oh, you don't have to do this, you know. And she was like, no, sorry, I'm only joking. And that's when I asked her about not being in the FIFA Pro World 11, and she said, I don't give a shit about awards, but it's a joke. And, you know, real, like, mic drop moment. And I'll admit, I kind of knew she was going to say something like that, because I think I know her well enough by now to kind of to know that her kind of personality. What was the reaction in the Netherlands, Anne-Marie, when she wasn't voted into the World 11 of the Year?
Oh, crazy. Yeah, no, I mean, it's to be honest, it's not the biggest thing yet. I mean, everyone was still looking at the men, you know, so we were more talking about that in the media. It got more attention. But I think it sums it all up what happened, and Miedema said it too. It's people don't have the knowledge yet, you know. I mean, who would think about that? I mean, Lieke Martens was put first, like before Miedema. Who comes up with that? So it's just basic knowledge, and not many people have that about the women's game. And I spoke to her about her comment, because I read it. And she said, well, you know, she appreciated the awards she got for the London awards. She said those were, you know, those are players I play against every week. Those are my teammates, the coaches, the managers. So she really appreciated that, because she knew the people that had voted. And now she's like, I don't know who voted, or I don't know who came up with this. And yeah, she said it's a big joke.
And I guess I'd like to kind of come on to her role in the national team tactically, because it's fairly different to her role with Arsenal. And actually, when she left Bayern Munich for Arsenal, she kind of said that she didn't like this kind of target striker role that she'd been given at Bayern, and Bayern were playing lots of long balls. And yeah, and a phrase really, so I got to speak to her at London Colney not long ago, and we'll drop bits of that interview in, and the phrase that jumped out at me, she said, I love football, I love playing football. And yeah, and I had the opportunity to ask her about the difference between her role for the Netherlands and her role for Arsenal, and here's what she said.
Would you say that your role for the national team and your role for Arsenal, are they different at all tactically? And if so, how do they differ?
I would like if they were the exact same. I think I've got a bit more freedom here at Arsenal, like especially on the pitch. I know my role off the pitch. I think it's very clear, like, as well, national team as here. I'm always going to be one of the more experienced players, and I've got that certain role in the team that I need to try and get everyone with me and keep them ready for the game, if that makes sense. But on the pitch, I have to say as well, like, it has become better at national team. Like, I've got a bit more freedom now, but especially here with Joe, the way we want to play, I think that kind of brings out the best in me, and I can drop in, I can pick the balls up whenever I want to, and that's the kind of game I want to play, and I'm really happy.
Is there anything in that answer, Anne-Marie, that surprises you? Because again, she was fairly candid when she said, you know, she wishes sometimes she had more freedom in the national team. Is that something that you've sensed?
Yeah, I sensed it. She never said it when at any press moment when she's here. I think just because when she's here for the national team. So I think she doesn't mention it that often, because that, you know, she doesn't want to sound ungrateful or whatever. But yeah, you can sense it, because I've seen many matches of the Arsenal women, and you can just tell it's a different game. I have to say that the Dutch style of playing could be different as well, right? Because we've always had the typical wingers, and now we have two wingers like Lieke Martens, Shanice van der Zanden, especially Shanice van der Zanden. She's so fast. Mm-hmm. So you got to have that person in the box. And at this moment, with someone that everything she touches, that it's a goal. So you got to have that person in the box. And we don't have anyone else than Miedema at this point. So I don't think she will get another role that she would really like. But then, I mean, she, like you said, she watches football the whole day. Like, her first monthly salary she got at Arsenal, she bought this flat screen that covered her whole wall in her place. When I interviewed her at home, there was a match going on. I don't even know which division, but she was watching something. And she was focused on the match, and she was focused on me, and it was like chaos. She loves the game, and she loves to be more involved, I think. She wants to tell people where to go, you know. You can see her point, or and when she's unhappy, she actually drops to the number 10. And she gets the ball herself and she's kind of directing the game. And then once the Netherlands scored, or she has scored, you can see her relax, and she's like, okay, that's done, we have our first goal. And then she's the number 9 again. So that's it's funny to watch.
I had an opportunity to ask her about that, actually, because I've always suspected that she prefers to think of herself as a number 10. She started her career that way. And whenever I speak to her, she never wants to talk about her goals. She wants to talk about her assists. And I think I've always suspected that. And I asked her about that directly. And this was her response, which I wasn't surprised by.
I've had this theory, and you can tell me if I'm wrong about you, for a while, that kind of in your mind you think more like a number 10 than a number 9, and that's actually the part of the game that you really enjoy, and that scoring goals necessarily isn't your driver and what inspires you. For example, you don't take penalties. Am I onto something there?
No, like, I've always played as a 10. Like, I'd say if I come in somewhere, or like if a coach would ask me what's your favourite position, I would always say, like, I'm a 10. But I think, obviously, the way I'm playing as a 9 here, like, I do have my goal scoring, like, qualities. But as you said, like, I still rather probably set up other people as, like, being set up. I always try to look for the ball through. I always try to see if there's anyone sitting better in front of the goal as I do. Like, I think that's just the type of player I am. So I think you're quite right there, to be fair. But, yeah, like what I said, like, I'm not bothered about not scoring for one or two games if I know that I've assisted other people or that I've played a good game. And I think that's just coming from me when I was younger. And that's also, I'm just a big football fan. Like, I love football. And I love just being able to have the ball and have the whole pitch in front of me. And then when I see someone making a run, I'm like, yeah, I want to give them that ball. And that's probably more my kind of game, yeah.
Yeah, because I've always thought one of the reasons I think you're quite calm in front of goal is because, it, like you say, it doesn't play on your mind if you haven't scored for a couple of games. I get this sense that you don't, because you don't really mind, it doesn't weigh on you, and therefore you stay quite calm in the penalty area.
Yeah, maybe. I think that's definitely, like, I think, especially here at Arsenal, like, I don't feel the pressure at all for scoring the goal. I would say, because I've got a slightly different goal at national team, sometimes I'm probably am more bothered about goals as I am here. But then it's still in the end, like what you said, like, if I play a good game, if I, like, set up other people, that's totally fine for me. And then I can be totally happy and go to bed without any problems.
And yeah, so as you say, Anne-Marie, she still really kind of has that mentality of dropping into the 10. That's where she, you know, where she really, really likes to operate. I guess to kind of move the discussion on a little bit, with how winning Euro 2017 changed things for these players in terms of, certainly in terms of their profile, because every time, you know, I watch Netherlands quite closely for obvious reasons, but every time they're playing at home, you know, there's crowds of over 20,000, stadiums selling out every single time. I asked Viv about that, how winning Euro 2017 changed her life, and this was her response.
Yeah, it definitely changed my life, but I think the biggest change just is, like, if you walk in Poland on the streets, everyone recognises you, and I think no one ever thought that was possible, probably in women's football. Like, I can't go for dinner anymore, I can't go out of the house with my mom and dad, because they're like, oh, look, there's Miedema, and that's just something you have to get used to. But I think as well, playing the final in Holland, like, in a sold-out stadium, with probably a really good game for other people to watch as well, and the parade the day after, like, were probably one of the best moments I'll ever have in my footballing career.
And there, you know, she talks about, you know, going into cafes and people recognising her and things like that. For you, Anne-Marie, as someone who is covering the national team before Euro 2017, how did you see the change, and how has the profile of these players changed since winning that tournament?
Well, first of all, you could hardly find any articles in the media. I think even a month before the Euros, you couldn't even tell there was going to be the Euros in the Netherlands, you know. And so it was until 2 weeks before the tournament started, people were kind of feeling something was about to happen. There was going to be a football tournament, and it was women, and it's like, okay, you know. So that's why I wrote my first book, because people had no idea who these players were. They knew Miedema because she scored two goals, which made them go to the World Cup in 2015. But then the performance of the Netherlands in Canada, it was so poorly that everyone's like, eh, you know, enough with the women's game. So nobody knew what to expect. And then after 2017, it was massive. Like, I will never forget the moment where they were in a boat in Utrecht, and they were driving through the canals, and there were 10,000 of people just, you know, cheering for them. And they got on the stage, and the whole park was just filled with families, like small children, everyone, they all wore Miedema on the back, you know, of their shirt, or Lieke Martens. And for me, people can criticize the game, they can criticize the women's game and say it's not as good as the men's, that's all fine, but for me, it makes me so emotional looking at the younger kids, looking at those girls or boys, but wearing those jerseys, looking up to Miedema, looking up to Lieke Martens, and think, wow, that could be me. You know, and I think for the players, that has changed, because they want their autograph. I mean, if they have practice, like yesterday or the week before, they have an open practice, and there's like hundreds of kids waiting for them to finish, you know, and get their autographs and selfies. And the same for with the media. We were with 5 or 6 journalists in Canada, and there were 20 or 30 journalists in the Euros, and by the time they reached to the finals, it was like 50 or 60. It was insane.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I just kind of really get this sense, particularly from social media as well, that there's just this kind of real energy around when the Dutch team play. And I know one thing they're really good at that you alluded to is doing like open training sessions, so that people have regular contact with these players, and like you say, they're getting autographs, they're getting selfies, they're getting kind of that close contact, that, because perhaps that's one of the things you lose, right, at a women's game when there's 25,000 people in the stadium all the time, as there is now for Netherlands, is you don't quite get that close contact. So one of the things they've been quite good at is kind of opening up the training sessions. Is that something that's really happened since 2017, or is that something they always did?
They always did it, but now it gets more attention because they want to keep the attention to the open trainings. Because the thing is, like you said, they play in bigger stadiums, and also it's not possible anymore. Actually, the manager, Serena Wiegman, she told me that 3 months after Euro 2017, they've been the hardest months in her life for keeping the team together, for pleasing the audience. And she said, we can't please everyone anymore like we used to. Like, they used to walk after every game. They used to walk just around the field with a marker in their hands, and they would hand out autographs. And since 2017, that's impossible. So what they do, they focus on the open training, invite everyone, say like, hey, you can watch there and you can get your autograph, you can get a selfie. So it's kind of like shifting attention a bit. And it's the same for the players. They really have to get used to people knowing their names. I mean, they're walking on the street, like Viv says, she's walking, and people are like, hey, that's Miedema. I mean, that must have been so weird for them after 2017.
Yeah, of course. And obviously, Vivian Miedema and Daniel van der Donk, not the only Dutch players that Arsenal have or have had.
Well, since the summer.
Indeed. And Pippa, I believe you wanted to ask a couple of questions about our dearly departed Dutch duo, Dominic Bloodworth and Sari van Veenendaal.
Which was such a surprise, by the way. I know. I think it was you that said you wasn't surprised, Tim. I think you might have known. But I was super surprised with both of them leaving. But especially with Sari, she didn't play much for Arsenal in the last season. But, you know, she's Golden Glove winner at the World Cup recently. What do the Netherlands fans think of Sari as a player, and why she wasn't playing much for her club team at Arsenal? Do they have a view on that?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, they grew the attention grew towards the World Cup. The media has been following the team since 2017 very closely. So now people noticed that they noticed she wasn't playing for Arsenal, which is also new, right? Because she got confronted with it, and which like 3 or 4 years ago, nobody would have known, like, oh, is she playing actually or not? And now everyone knew. We were surprised as well, because we think Sari van Veenendaal is a really good goalkeeper. So we were surprised, and especially when the manager, Serena Wiegman, chose for a second option, Loes Geurts. So there was actually competition between those two towards the World Cup. And we weren't even sure Sari would be the first goalie for our World Cup. And she waited a really long time to announce the first goalkeeper. And then Sari announced she would leave Arsenal. So she took a massive gamble. Like, I mean, what if she wouldn't have played the World Cup? Would there have been a club for her? So it's incredible what happened to Sari van Veenendaal in the past 6 months, actually, if you think about it. But she's, I think, after Miedema and Lieke Martens, maybe she needs Van der Sanden, but she's in the top five most popular players of the Dutch team. People really like her for just who she is. You could see it at the FIFA award show. That was her. That was her for 100%, and that's what people like. Just normal.
And of course, how about Dominic Bloodworth, another Arsenal departee in the summer? How is she perceived by the Netherlands fans?
I hate to say it, like really well, because she's a really cool person, and of course everyone picked up on the story about her and her husband. But I think she's underestimated. She's a defender, so she's not in the spotlights like Miedema, like Danielle van der Donk. Mm-hmm. I don't know. She's quite, if you don't know her, you would think she's shy. But then
she does come across quite shy.
Yeah. And when you talk to her, she opens up, and actually she talks really about a lot of things, and so I think that's kind of her. Yeah, she's not as open as Daniela van der Donk or spontaneous or happy. She's just, she was there for a while, but I think now when people thought about that, she played every match in the qualifications for the World Cup. She was the only one actually who played every single minute, and they were like, oh wow, we didn't know. And then she got more the spotlight on her.
Yeah. What was the mood like when she left Arsenal?
Well, yeah, like it's sad for her, but it was a transfer.
Yeah,
and you know, it was different from Sarah van Veenendaal because it was not as spectacular. Maybe it's different from Miedema because she's Miedema. She made the move, and people were interested. Well, we kind of got it because Wolfsburg is, especially in the Champions League, right? It's a well-known club.
Mm-hmm.
I personally, I'm not sure what to think about it because I don't think the German competition is as strong as the English one. So, yeah, I don't know.
I think what's quite interesting with Dom is that I spoke to her a lot during her time at Arsenal, and she still wants to play in midfield. That's where she sees herself. But she pretty much always gets played in defence. I'm not actually sure where she's been playing for Wolfsburg, whether she's been playing in defence or midfield. I know for Netherlands it's always been, kind of came in at left back, and then, you know, it's been that kind of ball playing centre half. But I think she still sees herself as a midfielder, definitely.
Well, she changed position now. She conquered. She really got her spot in the central defense. So she's one of the central defenders, and she really earned her spot. And it's amazing that she's as good with her left foot as she is with her right foot. Like, yeah. I'm a big fan of her, and also as who she is as a person. So yeah, it could have. And she's played in Germany before, so maybe you know. She knows the competition, and she might want to play for Wolfsburg because it's a really good club. But I thought she was really strong when playing for Arsenal, but I don't know if her chances would have changed for this season. I think you guys know that better.
Yeah. I think because she was playing really well in midfield, and then Arsenal bought Leovolti, and Leovolti is top class in that position, and I think maybe she saw that she was going to be a defender at Arsenal, and that she wasn't going to be able to play in midfield, and Wolfsburg's a great club, and it's difficult to turn down. And I think it was certainly when I spoke to her just before she left, and she said she found that to be a big dilemma. But speaking of Dutch players that have played in Germany and perhaps took a gamble with a transfer in the summer, Gilles Roord is another really, really interesting player, and a player who I read an interview with her just before she came to Arsenal, Anne-Marie, and I don't know who it was with, but she was wearing the number 12 shirt, I believe, for Netherlands, and she swapped it for number 19 because she said, that's how I feel. I feel like number 12. And she was basically saying, I'm sick of feeling like number 12, because she wasn't quite in that first 11, but she was very close. But recently, since the World Cup, she's kind of broken into that front three. Is that right, Anne-Marie?
Yeah, well, of course, it was amazing that she scored the first goal at the World Cup. And that was the moment that she entered the mix zone, and she's like, wow, it's the first time. You won't let me pass through. Like, she was like, it was the first time everyone wanted her quotes. And that's also the first time she said, like, okay, now I'm definitely done with number 12. So that was funny. I mean, she is funny. That she's she's really nice. Well, after the World Cup, I have to say she's been, during the World Cup, she's been playing as a left forward, which, and Wiegman allows her to come more to the middle, which is good because then she can get in the combination with Miedema and Daniela van der Donk. And I love her technique. I think she has the best technique of the whole team. She makes it look so easy, her ball control, the way she controls the ball, it looks so easy. But we have to remember Lieke Martens is injured.
Yeah.
And if Lieke Martens is really fit, you have her on the left. And then we have a midfield. Well, you know, you have Danielle van der Donk, Jackie Groene, and we have Sherida Spitze. Mm. So who are you going to swap? I mean, it has to come from one of those three. Mm-hmm. And now it's from Lieke Martens. But when Lieke Martens is back, I don't know what's going to happen. I wish her all the best. I mean, she's really good, but I have no idea.
And that's really interesting as well, because I found her decision to come to Arsenal pleasantly surprising, because I think she's a great player, but surprising nonetheless, because she wasn't really playing as much as she wanted at Bayern. And then she's come to Arsenal, where, you know, Arsenal have Jordan Nobbs and Kim Little and Danielle van der Donk basically playing in her position already. And she's played all over the place for Arsenal already. She's played as the number six in front of the defence. She's played on the left. We played her as a number nine in the last game up front. And so she's kind of moved around a lot. I thought her decision to come to Arsenal was very interesting, given that Arsenal, in her position, probably have more depth than any other team in the world, bar Lyon. And maybe Bayern Munich, the team that she came from. So I don't know if there was any kind of perception of, oh wow, she's gone to Arsenal. And she's almost directly competing with Danielle van der Donk, you know, her national teammate, which was kind of an interesting and I think very brave choice.
Yeah, I think it was brave as well. I didn't expect her to play for Arsenal that much already, but she has been playing a lot. But the way we look at the German competition and to Bayern Munich is the same. You know, it's the way of playing. I mean, you could see Miedema grow more physically, and the same thing happened with Jill Ward. So it's about strength and getting the ball forward. And I mean, if you look at the player that Jill Ward is, with her technique, with her control over the ball, the way she moves over the field, you know, the way she moves, it's interesting to watch. I think that's more suitable for a club like Arsenal, that has way more football in it. And I don't know, it could be in her favor to be able to play in so many positions. But then if this continues for the whole season, isn't she gonna feel like, oh, like, do I belong somewhere? Or I don't know how she would, yeah, how that will be after a couple of months.
I agree. Is she just going to feel like number 12 again?
Yeah.
I do think there is a little bit of a risk of that. But I guess talking about Jill, maybe to wrap up the podcast, I had the opportunity to speak to Jill after the 8-0 win over Slavia Prague in the Champions League about her time at Arsenal and her decision to come to England. And this is what she had to say.
Okay, Jill, first question. How are you enjoying life at Arsenal so far?
Really, I really like it here. I really like the girls, the team, and the way we play, and the whole atmosphere in England, around the games and everything. So I'm really happy.
And it must be really familiar for you here, because obviously you've got Dutch international teammates, lots of ex-Bayern players as well. Does it kind of feel like a bit of a home from home already?
It never feels like home, I have to say. Live in a different country, but no, it's nice to have some Dutch girls here and some Bayern Munich girls. So makes it feel a bit more like home.
And how many of them did you speak to before you came here? Obviously, you came here with Leonie and Manu already, but I take you must have spoken to Viv and DVD about coming here.
Yeah, of course, but I have to say that I already made my choice. I had a really good feeling here, and I know the Dutch girls here, Sari and Dominique as well. They were really happy here as well, so I already knew that that they liked it here.
And I think you took quite a bit of a risk coming here, because I know you said that you know, at Bayern you weren't happy with the amount that you were playing and that you really want to force your way into the starting 11 of the Netherlands. And you come to Arsenal where there's a lot of people who play in your position. What were the conversations like that you had with Joe before you came here about your role?
He just, like, he really wanted me, and he had a lot of confidence in my game. And he also said, like, I think you really fit in the way we want to play. And obviously there are a lot of good players here, but that's a challenge for me. And I think that's going to make me develop even more. So I'm not like that. I think that's good.
And you've played quite a few different roles already. You've kind of played in front of the defence. You played at Chelsea as a second striker. Are you quite used to that?
As a striker, or you mean the different
positions? Playing different positions.
No, not really. I've always played a 10, and since I've got here, I have to say last season in Bayern, I also sometimes played as a 6. But I have to say I like it. It's different. It can be different every game, and I think it's good for my development to play like different styles, different ways. So that's fine.
And you've kind of grown up playing with Vivian Miedema, mm-hmm. At club level. International level. And she's just scored her 50th goal for Arsenal tonight.
Did she? Oh,
yes,
no.
Yeah. Now it's 52 and 50 starts.
Wow.
For Arsenal. What's it like having her as a club mate now, as well as an international teammate?
I mean, it's great. First of all, FIFA is world class. She's an amazing player. I really like to play with her. I think we have a good connection together, and also off the pitch we have a really good connection. Like we're really good friends. So for me, it's really nice to have her here.
And there seems to be this kind of generation of Dutch players around your age, around Viv's age, Linus Berenstein, uh-huh. and players like that. Is there something specific that that happened in Netherlands to bring up that generation, or was it just a bit of a coincidence, do you think?
I think it's a coincidence. We're just doing really good in Holland with my generation, but also the older people. It's just going really well, and I hope to keep it that way.
And a final question. I read an interview with you last week, and you were talking about some of the differences between the WSL and the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
And you were talking about how there were kind of more rules in Germany in the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
And actually, I read an interview with Dominic Bloodworth, and she said
the same.
Yeah, exactly. She said exactly the same. So other than that, what are the main differences, do you think, between the WSL, perhaps tactically or on the pitch?
I think the speed of the game is higher here. It's also because in Germany you have like two really good teams, and all the other clubs are lower.
Mm-hmm.
I think the difference in quality is high in the Bundesliga. And here you have almost every week like a really good game, a really good opponent. So that makes the speed of the game higher, and that makes it tougher sometimes.
Lovely.
Yes?
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks to our guest Anne-Marie, and we'll be back with another episode next month.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.